fellow brothers and sisters, let's enter with God's presence with a word of prayer. Eternal Heavenly Father, we just love and worship you, and we praise you again this morning and pray in the name of Jesus that you would open our eyes, minds, and hearts to receive what you have. You would make me your channel, that you would speak to us. Lord God, grip us. Grip our hearts and change us. Get a hold of us, Lord, we pray thee. Bring conviction. Come to your spirit upon us, we pray. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Give me your words alone. Take away my notes. Amen. We saw how the children of Israel were in the land of Egypt. And by the way, this started on the 24th, Sunday. So go back to there and listen consecutively. Don't miss a day if this is your first day calling in. And one more announcement I want to give is that Saturday morning at 7:30 a.m., there's a Bible study. You can call 1-218-862-1300. And the ID that you'll have to put in then is 525819. So again, that's call 218-862-1300. And the ID is 525819. That's Saturday morning at 7:30 Eastern Time. Now let's get started. So the children of Israel were in the land of Egypt, and they grew into a great nation there. And then there arose a Pharaoh that didn't know Joseph, and he was horrible to the Israelites, made him hard slaves, and then started killing all baby boys. Had to be thrown in the river was his command. And there was one family that had a baby boy, and they saved him alive. And yet, 3 months old, they let him float down the river because they knew that if they were caught, he'd be killed. Yet God, they trust him in God's hands. And when we let go of things and just trust God, he does amazing things. They had no other option, evidently. And anyway, it was all in God's plans, whatever the case. And Pharaoh's daughter, the king's daughter, adopted Moses and raised him and educated him. And Moses tried to free the children of Israel when he grew up, when he was like 40 years old. He went and killed an Egyptian, and he was planning to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt. But Pharaoh heard about it. He killed the Egyptian and saw that he was obviously siding on Israel's side and was after him to kill him. So he fled into the desert and was there 40 years. And there God made him the humblest man in the world, the meekest man on earth. And there he was in the desert, a shepherd. And all of a sudden he saw this bush burning. He was on the mountain of God, Mount Sinai, which is in the Arabian Peninsula, in Arabia. And there he saw this burning bush. But yet it wasn't being consumed, it was just fire. But the bush was staying evidently green. And he approached it, and then he heard a voice saying, "Take thy shoes off thy feet, for the land whereon thou standest is holy ground." And so he took his shoes off, and he came, and God spoke to him out of the bush. And God told him, "Go and take the children of Israel out of Egypt and take them to this land where I will show you." And Moses didn't think he was fit to do it, but God commanded him to do it. And Moses said, "By what name will I tell you?" Because he didn't really know the name of God back then. And he said, "I am who I am. Tell them, I am has sent you." And in that name of God, we see that he is the eternal, ever-present one. We see that not he was and will be, but he is. He always is there. I am. Remember that name. We're going to hear it again tomorrow in a very different context. I am has sent you. So finally, Moses was convinced to go. You need to read the whole story. It's amazing. And he went, and he told Pharaoh, "Thus saith Yahweh," which was the name of God, which is basically the same meaning as I am. Hebrew Yahweh, English Jehovah. "Thus saith Yahweh, let my people go, that they may serve me." And Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, said, "Who is Yahweh that I should let his people go? No, I will not let his people go." And then Moses said, "Well, if you don't, then there's going to be these plagues." and they started one plague after another after another. And it says that every time Pharaoh hardened his heart, first he turned the Nile River to blood, and then made frogs cover the land, and then lice, and then flies, and the cattle got sick, and one plague after another. And after these plagues, Pharaoh would say, "Oh, I'm sorry, you know," kind of thing, and "I'm going to let him go. Just beseech Yahweh, beseech the Lord to take away these plagues." And Moses would say, "Okay, I will." And as soon as he would ask God to take away the plague, then Pharaoh would harden his heart again and say, "No, I'm not going to let him go." And then just more and more things boiled on him all. And finally, fire mixed with hail that fell and just ruined the crops and just burned everything in the land of Egypt. And time and time again, Pharaoh would, he would say, "Oh, I'm going to let him go. I'm so sorry. Please, please, you know, take this horrible plague," because the land was being utterly destroyed. "Take this plague away." But then as soon as the plague was gone, then he would harden his heart. He did that many times until his own advisors were begging him, "See, the land of Egypt is destroyed. Let them go." But then it says, at one point it says that God hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let him go. And then he sent locusts and just ate everything that had been spared, and thoroughly just destroying the land of Egypt, their crops, everything. And he would not let him go. And he sent a great darkness on the land as well. And Pharaoh said he would, but then the darkness was lifted and he would not let him go. And what we see from this is that if we harden our hearts and resist God, it will get to the point that God himself can give us over to a hard heart, to where we cannot even soften our hearts if we want to. He teaches this in the book of Romans as well, that God, if we choose sin and we just hold out against God and hold out against God, and he's calling us, we keep on holding out against us, the time will come where God will harden our hearts and we cannot repent. There is a section of grace, a time when we can repent, and if we harden our hearts beyond that time, it will be too late and we cannot repent. The last plague that God sent was death of the firstborn. Every firstborn, man and animal, would die. And this is what God said to the children of Israel, so that their firstborn wouldn't die. And God also spared them from a lot of plagues, the Israelites. Anyway, here's what he said, that God is going to send his angel, the death angel, that's going to pass over. And every house, the firstborn will be killed. But this is what you have to do to save your firstborn. You must take a lamb without blemish of the sheep or the goats, and you must kill him and put his blood on the lintel and doorpost, so around your door, the blood of this lamb. It must be a male of the first year, a perfect lamb. And then you eat it, and you don't break a single bone, but you eat this lamb that night after sacrificing him. And so all the Israelites did that, and they put a lamb, the lamb's blood, on the both sides and the top around the door, surrounding their door. And the death angel passed that night. And over all the houses of Israel, he passed, and he saw the blood, and he passed over. But the houses of the Egyptians, he slew the firstborn, died in every house. And there was a great wailing. And in the middle of the night, they rose up and said, told the Israelites, "Get out of here." And they pushed the Israelites out. And then they were cast out, and they left in the night. And so the Israelites left, and God led them through the wilderness. And we see there the Passover lamb. That lamb died in the place of the firstborn. Like the sheep, the ram died in the place of Isaac. So we see he took his place. And we see the life of the lamb for the life of the firstborn. That's a beautiful picture. Remember that picture. It's going to come clear tomorrow. Life for a life. The blood saved the firstborn. Remember that. The children of Israel went out of Egypt, and they came to the Red Sea, and God hardened Pharaoh's heart one more time, and Pharaoh pursued him with all his with his huge army, and God split the Red Sea for them, and they crossed over dry shod for the children of Israel, and Egyptians followed after them, and then God brought the sea down on them and destroyed Pharaoh and his army. And we see that if we harden our hearts, God will destroy us. God will harden our hearts as well, and it will be to our complete destruction. And so that you, God led the, so let's not harden our hearts. Now listen to the commands that God gives. Don't harden your heart. If there's something now that God is convicting you of or going to convict you of in these next few minutes, do not harden your heart, for you don't know how many more days you have of life or how many more days you have before God will perhaps harden your heart. So God led them to Mount Sinai in Arabia, and there he spoke and they heard his Ten Commandments, and he also wrote them down on tables of stone that he gave to Moses. And these are the Ten Commandments. Exodus 20, verse 2, he says, I am the Lord. You see, Lord with all caps, that means that's the holy name Yahweh or Jehovah. The Lord thy God which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Do we have any gods in our lives other than God? Well, let me think. Let me help you think. God is whatever you worship. Who do you live for? Honestly, who do you love the most? If you live for yourself or you love yourself more than anyone, you are your own God. Broken the first commandment. Do you love yourself more or God? How you spend your time, what you think about. Are you thinking about yourself all the time? Think about it. Or it could be your money, your possessions, your reputation, what people think about you, because that's what going to connect to self. Your relationships. You love your wife or your mother or your girlfriend or someone more than God. Or a secure future. Your own beauty, yourself again, in your intelligence, your talents, your work. Maybe that's all you live for is work. That's all you think about. And we have to work to live. But that can become a god. Sports can be, music, anything can be. Your God can be whatever consumes you, whatever has first place in your heart. If you love anything more than God, that is your God. And that you would be called an idolater, an idol worshiper, like that Hindu that bows before a statue of stone, that you would be. That's the case. Fall on your face now before God Almighty and repent. The next command is not to make any graven image and bow down to it. God is a jealous God. The next command is, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Do you say, my God, when you're not talking about God or to him, you know what I mean? Then there's the thing of blasphemy, where taking the name of Jesus or God to express disgust or anger or something like that, that's even worse than taking his name in vain. That would make you a blasphemer. You know what I mean? Number three is thou shalt, that was number three. Number four is remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And that was a picture of someone who was to come. It was a command for that time, not a command for today. Honor thy father and thy mother. Do you do that? Always. Thou shalt not kill. Command number six. Now, have not killed. I mean, not humans, not animals, of course. That's fine. God gave us animals for meat. Thou shalt not kill. God says, he that hateth his brother is a murderer. Have you ever hated any person for 5 minutes, maybe, at any time in your life, or a minute, have you ever hated anyone? If you have ever hated anyone, God said, you are a murderer, a criminal. The Bible says that no murderer has eternal life. You're on your way to hell if you're a murderer. Command number seven, thou shalt not commit adultery. God says, he that looks on a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. I don't mean you looked and then there was a temptation come, but looking for the purpose of lusting. You wanted to lust after her. God sees what you want to do. If you want to be immoral with a woman, God sees as if you have been immoral already. Do you see what I mean? Anything you want to do, God considers it as done, in a sense. So if you have purposely looked to lust, God says you've committed adultery. Or if you're unmarried, fornication, you'd be an adulterer. Thou shalt not steal. Have you ever taken anything that's not yours? Ever? In that case, you'd be a thief. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And there are scripture commands in the Bible just about lying in general. All liars, God says, will have their part in the lake that burns fire and brimstone. All liars are going to hell. In the church, out of the church, any liars. If you're a liar, you're on your way to hell. Thou shalt not covet a neighbor's house, a neighbor's wife, a neighbor's man, some neighbor, anything that's a neighbor's. Coveting, wanting something that is someone else. Have you done that? Have you coveted? If you've done any one of these things, you're condemned by the law as a transgressor, a sinner. What are you going to do? Try to keep this law today. See if you can. Our time's up here. Think about it. Let it sink in. God's law is perfect. Israel tried to keep God's law for hundreds of years, and they could not. God would send them prophets, calling them back to him, but they would fail and fail and fail. Israel could not keep God's law. Try today and see if you can keep God's law. See if you can never covet anything of anyone else. See if you can live this law perfectly. And the law, this is only 10 commandments. There are 317, I believe, laws, commandments, statutes, and judgments. Another one is love your neighbor as yourself. Who does that? Really, as yourself. Another one is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And you love God with everything you have, heart, soul, and strength. And the laws go on. Try to keep God's law today. And we'll have our last session tomorrow. God bless you.